But what will Rod Stewart be performing at the opening of the Commonwealth Games? And will he be singing a duet with Susan Boyle? Will that be the highlight of the Commonwealth Games? I seem to recall we had a similar conversation 4 years ago. Well, slightly less than 4 years ago, because the Commonwealth Games were opening in New Delhi. And we wondered then, are the Commonwealth Games still relevant? The question is more relevant these days because the story was that beyond the Gold Coast in 2018, the Commonwealth Games may not actually even take place. No one actually wanted to host them. A couple of cities may have put up their hand now, but it is looking a little bit of a concern for the future of the Commonwealth Games. That is our talking point this morning with Rod Quinn, ABC Local Radio around Australia. In a moment, Professor David Legg from the Department of Physical Culture and Recreation Studies, Mount Royal University in Calgary, in Alberta, in Canada, will be our guest, although he's spent time at Deakin University in the wake of the Melbourne Commonwealth Games. From Facebook, David says, this is a different David, I'm sure the Commonwealth Games are a useful competition experience for the athletes. However, in terms of serious international competition, they really are somewhat of an anachronism in the 21st century. And someone else says they are a waste of money. David Legg from Mount Royal University in Calgary, a very good morning to you.
Well, good afternoon from Calgary, yeah. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Let's start. Are they an anachronism? Are they a waste of money, the Commonwealth Games?
Major games like this, I think, have to be placed into a context. I mean, and, you know, your comment in the introduction about not very many cities bidding for the Commonwealth Games, well, I think you're seeing that in all major games right now.
Certainly. I don't think anyone's bid for the Winter Olympics beyond the next
one.
There were only
three cities that ultimately put their hand up, and there were four or five that initially put their hand up where referendums took place or the governments decided to not bid. So I don't think this is specific to the Commonwealth Games. Major games are having a challenge in that budgets are increasing. I mean, the Sochi Olympic Paralympic Games are, you know, certainly a good case study in that. And then cities thinking about bidding in the future are, I think, a little gun-shy to put their hands up, not knowing sometimes what the potential costs could be. I think the Glasgow Games right now are pegged at about, you know, kind of £500 million, so almost $1 billion, Canadian dollars. So, I mean, that's not an inexpensive venture. I think where people say it's a waste of money is it's not just the games for those 10 to 14 days. It's the legacy of those games that occur after the fact that have to be weighed as to whether or not it's a worthwhile venture. You know, certainly the little bit that I know about the Gold Coast Games, I think they're doing the right things. I mean, you look at the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne as an example, and I think that was an investment in infrastructure. You know, certainly Commonwealth Games that have happened in Canada as case studies, you can look back and identify specific venues or, you know, transportation infrastructure that was built that likely should have been built anyway, but what the Games did was spur that on. So it's a very difficult question to answer as to whether or not it's a good investment of money.
Because I think the Games in Glasgow are part of the UK's 10 years of sport series, which include the Olympics. It was the Rugby League World Cup as well last year. So they have a whole series of events that are part of this 10 years that they put together. And otherwise, who knows who would have hosted these games?
Well, and, you know, and Halifax, Canada, was actually one of the three cities that initially was bidding to host the 2014 Games. They submitted a formal application, and then ultimately the city, the town council, bailed. And so it came down to only Glasgow and Abuja, Nigeria. And there were a number of people that thought it would go to Abuja simply because the Games have never been held in Africa.
I can only imagine, with all due respect to our Nigerian friends, that it would be a disaster to be held in Nigeria.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that's what the voting members of the Commonwealth Games agreed. Now, having said that, Durban has put their hand up and said that they're interested in hosting in 2022, following the Games in the Gold Coast. So there is still the possibility of the first Commonwealth Games being held in Africa. And the other city competing against it is actually a city in my home province here in Alberta, which is Edmonton, just 3 hours up the road from me. And they hosted, I think it was in 1978.
78. Yeah, 1978. Yeah. The interesting thing about that is that there are at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cities that have dropped out. After flagging that they do have an interest in bidding, that they've dropped out. So there is... I don't know what would happen if no city wanted the Commonwealth Games, whether the Commonwealth Games Federation would actually have to go to a city and say, would you please host one?
I would suspect that would happen. Well, I mean, I think Edmonton and Durban both submitted their applications a day before they were due. So perhaps that even took place with those bids and that they were encouraged by the Commonwealth Games Federation. I'm not privy to those discussions. I think there are a number of cities that could do the Games. I think what has to happen, and this has to happen both with the Commonwealth Games, the Pan American Games. I was on the board of the Toronto 2015 Pan American Games. And so in all these major games, I think there needs to be a recognition that the costs have escalated beyond what's reasonable, and they need to be scaled back. I think Auckland would be an excellent option. I mean, they seem to have been in every state capital in Australia with the exception of Adelaide and Hobart and Darwin. So, I mean, I guess Sydney never hosted the Commonwealth Games either. But,
well, 1938, the host of the Empire Games.
Oh, right. I mean, I guess I think the Games can be held in a much more costly or cost-effective manner. I don't think they require the big ticket items that other games have done. I sometimes wonder about the expense, the monies that are put into security. And there's no legacy at all for that. Now, I guess the catch-22 is what if something happened?
Yes.
At a game, that could be a tragic result. But, you know, just the costs alone with security budgets are skyrocketing beyond what's, I think, reasonable for host states to take on.
Basically, it's going to be the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand are probably the only countries that could reasonably afford it. And as you say, with the security, there's no legacy there. You just, you know, all the security guards and the wire fences, they go home and the fences go down and that's about it. And you're not left with anything else.
No.
Do they actually serve a purpose, do you think, the Commonwealth Games? Especially these days when, yes, it was good for those members of the Commonwealth, Canada, Australia and other countries, that it was between Olympic Games. But now you've got World Swimming Championships, World Athletics Championships, also in that kind of off year from the Olympics, that maybe the Commonwealth Games don't actually serve a purpose anymore.
I think you can make that argument, but I still think that a major multi-sport, multi-nation games like the Commonwealth Games still has a place. You know, it's interesting, being a part of the British Commonwealth, what other event links us other than the Commonwealth Games? You know, us being the countries that you've just recognized, plus all the, you know, the 40 other nations, and then there's all the different territories that kind of fit within the Commonwealth. What's interesting, and I think it's happening in Australia too, there's almost, I don't know if it's nostalgia, but an interest, and, you know, maybe it's your new Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, who's so interested in the monarchy, but in Canada here, too, there's almost a renewed interest in our links to our British heritage. And in Canada, it's interesting. We are so strongly influenced by American music that we don't typically have ties to the British Commonwealth, per se, with the exception of these games. We typically don't align ourselves with the other Commonwealth nations, with the exception of these, and just because of our natural, you know, our language that links us. So I think there's that value. Now, whether or not it really is all that important that we continue ties within the Commonwealth, I guess that's a debatable point. As far as the sport aspect goes, I do think that these games provide not a stepping stone, but a place within the sport pathway. And you have to remember, too, that some of the sports that are participated in the Commonwealth Games, you know, this could be considered, you know, the highest level. Netball, maybe an example. Field hockey. You know, I say field hockey. I know it's referred to as hockey there, but
thanks. We've won gold medals in hockey at the Olympics.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of the hockey nations are Commonwealth nations. So this could be, you know, one of the higher levels for that. Now, beyond those few sports I just mentioned, bowls maybe.
I don't know that the netball doesn't really. I know it's a big sport in Australia. I don't know whether it's a big sport in Canada. I don't think so. It's kind of a big sport in three countries of the world. So I'm very excited for the netballers to have their place at the Commonwealth Games. But I guarantee it'll come down to Australia versus New Zealand in the final, with maybe Trinidad and Tobago bringing up third place. But you know, I don't think field hockey would see it as the peak of field hockey. And there's, let's face it, the Germans and the Dutch are also very strong in the world of hockey. And then when you come down to lawn bowls, again, it's not the most dynamic of sports. It's great participation sport. That's the same with netball as well. I'm sure it's great for the lawn bowlers, but it doesn't get the pulses racing, does it?
No, I mean, maybe not from a media's perspective. I mean, certainly in Canada, it's not getting great coverage. We do have a television broadcaster, but I would say, you know, particularly in a summer where there was a FIFA World Cup, and Canada wasn't even in FIFA, the Commonwealth Games are getting, you know, scant attention. I think you're right. The sports that we just talked about and the games as a whole don't get a lot of international cachet or appeal, but that doesn't necessarily deter it from being a step within the sports system as far as an athlete progressing along the lines and getting towards an Olympic or Paralympic Games.
Okay. What about Glasgow? How are things looking there?
You know, certainly from everything I've heard, now David Grevenberg, who's the CEO, he was a colleague of mine when he was with the International Paralympic Committee, so I know him personally, and certainly anything I've read about or seen, you know, the ticket sales, they're not 100% sold out, but it seems to me that they're on track. Everything that I've read, but again, it's difficult to pick up on the media slant from afar, seems to be very positive. You know, Scotland, you know, seems to be embracing the games. Glasgow in particular seems to be really basking in the glow of hosting an international event like this. So it seems to me anyways that I think people are still very hopeful that Usain Bolt's going to compete. You know, sort of the last information that I heard is that he's a possible for the relay event. So maybe that'll bring a bit more international, you know, interest in the games.
Because he is the biggest star in the world of the Olympics and that sort of thing. If he was not there, I think a lot of people would be very disappointed.
Oh, I agree. I think there's a lot of people crossing their fingers. A lot of people disappointed that he was injured. But, you know, they're hopeful that he'll compete in the relay.
There are problems at the Commonwealth Games Village, apparently. 12 people sick with an outbreak of kind of vomiting and worse. So I hope that gets fixed up before, because it all starts next week. It'll be on next week, won't it? And yet, I've got to say, I mean, if you hadn't seen one ad on TV or maybe heard a couple of the promos we play, people don't necessarily know that it's on. I don't know whether they care that it's on. In Canada, given that you've got, you know, baseball going on, you've got teams in the Major League Baseball, you've got football about to start again, I suppose. Ice hockey is always on your mind. Do people care about the... I mean, is it broadcast? You know, you would have seen perhaps the way that sport is broadcast in Australia. Is it broadcast on a major free-to-air network?
So it is on a free-to-air network, but it's not on one of our specialty sports stations. Here we have two specialty sports stations that have multiple channels, and neither of those are broadcasting much, if any, of the games. It'll be certainly shown in a limited way. Because it's our summer... you know, a lot of people take holidays at this time of year, so I don't think it'll get great pickup. And again, with, you know, the FIFA World Cup just ending, as you said, we've got Major League Baseball just at its mid-year break. They just had the All-Star Game this week. The Canadian Football League is in the midst of its league. You know, the Rogers Cup, as far as tennis, is going to be coming up pretty soon, leading up to the U.S. Open. So, yeah, I don't... And the sports that are played at the Commonwealth Games aren't necessarily the sports that get great cachet in a Canadian context. So they don't get a lot of love from our media here, certainly.
You know, in Australia it's different, of course, because we can actually go into, say, the swimming events and reasonably expect to win all of them, or if not all of them, then most of them, because the Americans aren't there. We can pretend to be America for a couple of weeks at a major Olympic event.
Well, you certainly. I was reading some of the comments about your uniform.
Oh God!
Top prize. Well, maybe not top prize for that, but
It's odd, yeah, to say the least.
I think in Delhi you had almost not 200 medals, but I think you pretty much had more than double anybody else.
Woohoo!
You know, at those games. So yeah, you're right. Australia certainly cleans up in the Commonwealth Games, and you know that might again explain a bit why Canada is a bit sheepish in following the games, because you know we do okay, but I think we finished fourth in India, and you know. Would have been sadly disappointed, I think, would we finished fifth or sixth. I can only imagine who we would have finished behind them.
I'm sorry. Australia has won, I think, every Commonwealth Games medal tally since probably Edinburgh and maybe beyond that as well. Australia tends to finish first, and it is a calamity for the nation sporting-wise if we don't, because we do take... A sport like swimming is taken seriously in Australia, and I suppose the Commonwealth Games sports are ones that are taken seriously in Australia. Lawn bowls is a huge sport. Netball's a huge sport. Athletics, obviously, we can actually win some medals there, unlike at the World Championship or the Olympics. It gives Australia a great chance. Why isn't Canada... Is it because of the sports? You mentioned, they played ice hockey, maybe you get a little bit more interested. But is it... I mean, given that Canada is comparable size to Australia, both physically and by... you've got more people, but I'm amazed at how little Canada does internationally when it comes to sport.
Well, yeah, okay. So certainly you're making reference to summer sports. Now, if you look at winter sports... that's obviously a very, very different story.
So hang on. They have sport in winter? I didn't know that. I'm thinking about things like tennis and golf and athletics and things like that, that traditionally, countries do take seriously. I understand, obviously, you've got very great skiers and ice hockey as well. But in other than those major international sports, Canada tends not to do very well.
Well, now, some people are arguing that Canada is just about to, hit its...
Okay.
Prime in sport. We just had Canadians in the finals at Wimbledon.
Yep. Did either of them win at all?
Yeah. No.
Who was the last Canadian to win a Grand Slam tennis tournament? Just remind me.
Well, when was the last Australian to win a Grand Slam?
Hang on. Sam Stosur won only a couple of years ago. Yeah, I know we don't do very well. But, Canada, for a country its size, it has produced virtually no great tennis players.
Well, I just said, we haven't. We've got two now that were just in the finals. We're very, very proud of that.
Yep, yep.
We had the number one player picked in the NBA for 2 years in a row now.
Okay.
We had three players picked in the first round in the NBA, which again for us is somewhat notable. So, some people are arguing that we're hitting our stride.
Okay.
Part of the challenge is it's not unlike the challenges faced by Australia. Although Australia does spend, or they did spend, gobs more money on sport than we did. We have considered adopting the system that they have in Australia with the AIS in Canberra, and we've looked at doing those sorts of things and trying to, mimic and copy some of the great things that Australia did. But there are arguments to be made that the money that was spent by Australia in their sport development system didn't necessarily pan out from an economic perspective compared to the Canadian model. I mean, part of our challenge is our size. Again, not unlike Australia's from a geographic perspective, we're just so spread out and so big. I think we have five time zones. So to get everybody together for a national championship is very, very, very challenging.
Fair enough.
Difficult. So, I'm just making up excuses. But we should be doing better in terms of summer sport.
One of the things also about Australian sport, though, is that our best sports stars basically play five sports that aren't really big universally. You've got AFL, you've got, maybe four sports, cricket and AFL, two major ones, rugby league, and to perhaps a lesser extent, rugby union, that our best sports stars play those four sports that are not necessarily Olympic sports, although rugby sevens will be, that all our best players do that. They don't, in fact, take part in Olympic or Commonwealth Games sports.
Yeah, that's a good point. So think how Australia would do if they did.
Yeah.
Think of all the footy players if they weren't playing AFL. I mean, those are fantastic athletes. The year I lived in Melbourne, I fell in love with AFL. Although I have to say, I because we lived in St. Kilda, I became a St. Kilda Saints fan.
Oh, dear.
And they had not done well since we left.
Well, they didn't do well before you arrived, and really they haven't done well since you left either. I'm sorry about that, David. Now, Also the athletes of the Commonwealth Games, that many of them will have to go to the, I think, their World Athletics Championships as well. So, I mean, how do they prepare for the Commonwealth Games to peak then and then peak later on? Is that, you know, do we need to look about when this is held, that maybe it needs to be held at a different time or in a different time in the four-year cycle?
Yeah, and so when I sat on the board of directors for the Toronto Pan American and Para Pan American Games, which again is our regional games here in North Central South America, we had the same questions. So are those games go in 2015 and then 2019, etc. But trying to plan around, you know, when are the World Championships in swimming? When are these games? There's just no perfect time to do that. I think in some cases they use the Commonwealth Games, maybe not for those same athletes that are going to the World Championships. And this is that opportunity for those athletes to get an experience at a multi-games international level. And then the following, you know, quadrennial, they take that step, or the following year, they take that step to go to another international competition like a World Championship. So we come back to the conversation you and I had earlier about what, you know, what's the role of these games. I think depending sometimes on the sport, it'll fit in a different stage of the athlete development pathway.
Okay. Let's talk to Anne. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
You worked at the Commonwealth Games.
Yes, I was a volunteer in the medical centre at the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. And, you know, I've always been disillusioned since I worked there. I think it's a case of, you know, the have and the have-nots, which I found, you know, pretty disconcerting.
So you're saying that there are some countries like Australia, UK, Canada that have, and there are other countries, you know, there were some
of the little African teams that didn't even have, you know, one of the sports companies provided them with, you know, runners, shoes.
Yeah.
And the other thing was a lot of the managers from a lot of, you know, underprivileged countries used it as a way of getting, you know, medical treatment and dental treatment.
Oh, wow.
You know, they were lining up, which I found, you know, I felt afterwards when I came back, you know, if the Commonwealth wanted to do something, they could really get together and put together a medical team to go to some of these underprivileged countries instead of, you know, putting on this show of, you know, strength, really, is what it was for, you know, the stronger countries.
That is a very good point, Anne, and thank you for making it. David Legg is our guest from Mount Royal University. What about what Anne was saying?
Yeah, it's hard to argue against providing dental care to people who need it.
But isn't it sad that they can only get it at an Olympic or Commonwealth Games like this, kept saying Olympic, Commonwealth Games, rather than have that? I mean, I don't know how much it costs to put on the Commonwealth Games, but if that money was spent providing dental care throughout Africa, that surely would be better spent.
Yes, and it's hard to argue against that. The difficulty is when there's lots of things that you could make that argument against as far as costs that governments make. I think investment into sporting events like this should be seen as not necessarily an either-or situation. It's an investment into an event that can provide legacy for structures, for infrastructure for sport. It can provide an opportunity for development of athletes who can be inspirational to multitudes of people. It can be an opportunity for nation building or city building in the case of Melbourne. But again, it's very difficult to argue that that's better than sending a medical team to a third world nation and providing medical care. So anytime we get into the argument of what's better, it's hard to make that argument. I don't think, you know, it's necessary, however, to say it's an either or scenario. Perhaps the games can, as Anne suggested, you know, maybe not be as extravagant, and I said that at the outset. I don't think they need to be as posh as they are.
Just explain about how that would happen then. How could you have Commonwealth Games with all the sports that we've got and do it on a limited basis? Would you get rid of some of those sports?
Well, you could. I mean, the games when they were in Victoria only had 10 sports, and they leapt to 17, I think, in the next games in Kuala Lumpur. So, maybe the number of sports need to be lowered. I think that's a possibility. B, you go to cities perhaps where venues, like I think the majority of venues in Glasgow were already built, so I don't think they had to have a lot of infrastructure as far as facilities built for the game. You know, things like opening and closing ceremonies. Now, I know you must like Rod Stewart.
I'll tell you what I don't like. I hate opening and closing ceremonies. They are shocking because they're all the same.
You think about the cost that Melbourne must have with all those fish.
The flying trams and everything.
You know, perhaps there's ways to, you know, address the cost there. We talked about security costs. I mean, maybe they don't need to be as extravagant. Maybe they don't need the number of swimsuits that the Australia team is taking to the Glasgow Games. Or maybe they don't need the number of kilts that the Scottish team is wearing in the opening ceremonies. I think there are ways to cut back on costs. And then maybe you could amp up the medical services and provide those to the people coming.
The comments we'll get next week, David, are that they don't want it on the air because it will disrupt this program, and why can't they do it somewhere else? Because we will be broadcasting, but it will be a limited broadcast of the Commonwealth Games. It won't be the wall-to-wall stuff like we've had in the past, because maybe there is a lack or a lessening of interest. Just on opening ceremonies, so it seems like ever since Sydney 2000, because the same people have basically been doing every opening and closing ceremony since then, they all get the same people in and did Sydney, then all those closing ceremonies in particular are the same. You get this kind of roll call of great rock stars from whatever country is putting on the games. The Winter Olympics in Canada were a classic example. It was just like the closing ceremony in Sydney.
Yes, I agree. I've been to a couple opening and closing ceremonies for Paralympic Games, and I've enjoyed them. But I sometimes wonder if the cost benefit is there. Now, listen, if Canada had won the bid for Halifax, we would have had Justin Bieber singing at our opening ceremony.
How good would that be?
Oh, fantastic.
Instead, we get Susan Boyle and Rod Stewart. Can you give us some examples, perhaps, of advantages that have been given to I don't know what happened with New Delhi last time. I mean, I think they still might be trying to race to finish the venue in time for this Commonwealth Games. Were there any advantages for India out of the Commonwealth Games, or if you can go back to other Commonwealth Games, where there has been a genuine advantage to the country or the city or the place that hosted them?
Well, yeah, to make an argument that there are benefits to Delhi, I think would be hard. They had to upgrade a bunch of their facilities. I mean, they got themselves on the map, sort of, from an international perspective, although maybe not the way that they wanted to. Arguing that the advantages to Delhi, I think, would be hard. An example here in Canada is Edmonton having hosted the games in 78, and as a result, they built a stadium which has been used ever since for their gridiron football team.
Okay.
One of the arguments that Halifax wanted to bid was to build that type of stadium as well, because there's no gridiron football team in eastern Canada, and that would have been the venue where that team would have played. The fact that they didn't move forward, they still don't have a gridiron team in eastern Canada. Manchester, I think you could argue, played their Commonwealth Games well from a legacy perspective, and have hosted a number of championships and events there since. And I think name recognition of Manchester has improved.
Sure. Well, in fact, I think the stadium is now where Manchester City play, the City of Manchester Stadium.
Yeah.
So they moved from there on.
Melbourne's a tricky one, and some people might argue that they hosted the games as a consolation prize to not to Sydney getting the Olympic Games in 2000.
You could say the same thing about Manchester.
You could probably get it. I mean, the fact is the Commonwealth Games tend to go to that, I don't want to call them second-tier cities, but in some cases they are almost the second city in some places.
Sure.
Even the cities in Canada that have bid, including Hamilton and Ottawa, Toronto did bid, but they, they're looking to host an Olympic Games. That's their goal, and that's one of the reasons why I think they wanted to host the Pan and Pan American Games, then bid for an Olympic Games. So you kind of see that second tier of city. And it allows them to build some infrastructure and to get some international cachet and to, be part of that international sports scene.
Very few cities have gone on from hosting a Commonwealth Games to hosting an Olympic Games, though. Few cities have hosted both. Sydney and London have done that, but, a long time apart, obviously. Can I say, Chris says, my grandparents have old reel film footage of when they went to the Commonwealth Games at the Queen Elizabeth Stadium in Brisbane. That was 1982. It was great watching the giant boxing kangaroo. Well, it wasn't a boxing kangaroo, Chris, but I take your point. It was the winking kangaroo, Matilda. Unfortunately, Rolf Harris was the star of the opening ceremony there, and we don't talk about Rolf Harris anymore. And Martin says, I wish the TV stations would stop going on about swimming or running, which I find boring, and present other sports more evenly. Of course, they tend to present the sports that Australia does well in the gold medals. And Damon says, Canada has strong water skiers. Whitney McClintock, Ryan Dodd, and Jarrett Llewellyn. How about that?
There you go. Ice hockey, and water skiing.
Yes, if only they could, well, I suppose, they could put the two of them together. What about India, though, and Delhi? Was there any legacy for Delhi?
Yeah, but maybe not positive. Although it's hard to say. I mean, there have been lots of games where infrastructure hasn't been ready until the night before, and I almost wonder if they were unfairly criticized because of the negative, the media presenting only the negative side of things. So it's difficult to say. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know where those games fit within the Indian context, quite honestly.
Okay. The world number 8 squash player, Peter Barker, says the Commonwealth Games will remain squash's top competition until the sport becomes an Olympic event. Squash's bid to be included in 2020 and 2024 Games was rejected last year by the International Olympic Committee. So it's a kind of a staging post for squash. If they ever get to the Olympics, they won't worry about the Commonwealth Games anymore.
Yeah, but then there would be another sport that would likely then want to fill that void, too. So I think that comes back to a point that I made earlier. You know, for some of the sports, this is the pinnacle. But for others, like athletics and swimming, which one of your listeners says is boring anyways, it's a step. It's a stage. It's a place for perhaps one of your not-quite-so-top-level athletes to get an opportunity to participate in an international level.
Just before we go then... is there any reason why the Commonwealth Games should continue? Is there a reason why, just because they've been around since 1930, that they should go on? That possibly, when they get to 2030, then they might say, rightio, that'll do us. We've done it for 100 years. We're struggling to get people to come along or cities to bid. This is a nice way to wrap things up, and we won't go on with them anymore.
Well, I think there's a possibility of that happening if costs continue to escalate beyond what is reasonable. I think if costs are drawn back... Now, one of the things we didn't talk about that the Commonwealth Games does really well is they include athletes with a disability in many of their sports in a very equitable fashion, and have been leaders in that. So, you know, my interest in Paralympic sport, I certainly hope the Commonwealth Games continue because I think it's a real... showcase for athletes with a disability, but that's an aside. I think the games will continue to have a role. I think the games will continue to have an interest. I think perhaps the games in 2010 were a bit of a step back. I think Glasgow is going to do a fabulous job, and maybe if you and I are having this conversation in a month from now and everything just goes tickety boo in Glasgow, all we're talking about is how great the games are going to be in the Gold Coast in 2018 and how. You know, all these other cities are wishing they would have put their hand up and said that they wanted the games in 2022. So, let's give the Glasgow Games an opportunity to maybe bring the games back to a level that they were when they were in Manchester and Melbourne.
Okay, you were on the committee though that chose Hamilton when it was making a bid. What were you looking for though? What were you looking for? Was it in? Were you looking for something? A city that could present a kind of a smaller, kinder, gentler games?
Well, actually, I was on the committee that selected Halifax.
Oh, Halifax. I'm sorry, not Hamilton. Halifax.
Yeah, Hamilton was one of the four cities. So the other two were Ottawa and Toronto at that time. What were we looking for? We weren't necessarily looking for a smaller venue, but I think we were cognizant that, you know, Hamilton's only a city of 300,000. Halifax is only a city of, 200,000. So they're not major urban centers. I think we were recognizing that a city of that size could be a good venue and could benefit from, the infrastructure upgrades from a sporting perspective, could benefit from the civic engagement and those sorts of things.
They could have it in Hamilton in 2030 and that wrap things up then.
That's right. Go from the Empire Games to the Commonwealth Games in 100 years?
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Someone else says the Winter Olympics are a bigger waste of money than the Commonwealth Games for this country.
Now, that is absolute rubbish.
Well, for Australia.
That's all we talk about here. And I keep wanting Calgary to bid again. We should bid every time that there's an Olympic Winter Games, Paralympic Winter Games.
Well, I suppose there are, you know, when you're talking about bids, there's a limited number of countries, really, that could host a successful Winter Olympics. It's not like the rest of the world bidding for the Olympics. You've got to have enough snow for a start.
Well, not necessarily. Sochi proved that. No, you're right. And listen, the three cities that are still bidding for the Winter Games in 2022, Oslo is one of them. I would suspect they've got to be the front runners, in part because they've got a lot of those facilities already ready to go. And that should be part of the argument, that cities like Calgary, again, I'm being biased. If cities have the venues already built and they don't have to do that infrastructure, why not go back to cities? But for whatever reason, games have been hesitant to do that for whatever reason. But I think what's going to happen is cities are going to, the number of bidding cities are going to slow down, and they're going to have to reconsider that.
Okay. Well, I suppose when the Winter Olympics, I'm sure Qatar would be only too happy to put in a bid.
Exactly.
They miss out.
Qatar, Dubai, and Abu Dhabi are going to host all the international sporting events for the next 50 years.
Well, they build them all indoors, no problems at all. David, thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the Commonwealth Games. Go Canada. I'm sure you'll finish better than fourth, won't you?
Really. Yeah, exactly. Aussie.
In fact, that's all you'll hear at the Commonwealth Games. They were going to have a Winter Commonwealth Games. In fact, I think they did have them in Switzerland at one point. They were going to have them in India last time, but that never came off. What a shame.
I think that's another great idea. I'm going to look at that myself. Hosting in Calgary could do it.
Well, fantastic. Use the old Olympic venues from 88. Have KD Lang do the opening ceremony. And you'll get the...
Katie Lang.
Well, she sang at the Saddle Dome or whatever it was, at the opening ceremony.
She would be good.
Calgary, it'd be great. Very inclusive. David, thank you very much. You're a good sport. I appreciate your time and enjoy those games.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
That is David Legg at the Department of Physical Culture and Recreation Studies at Mount Royal University. He was a member of the bid selection committee for the Commonwealth Games Canada when they shortlisted Halifax for 2014. i.e. this year, but Halifax eventually pulled out.